Now, the House January 6th committee called a surprise session yesterday. The witness was Cassidy Hutchinson, a former White House aide who worked for former President Trump's last chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Hutchinson's testimony included, among other things, telling committee members that then-President Trump wanted to lead the crowd to the Capitol and that he was aware that his supporters in the crowd were armed before a speech in which he told them to fight like hell. We're talking about yesterday's January 6th hearings, what we've learned thus far, and what could come out of it all. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the testimony from yesterday, to the whole sequence of events so far? What do you think as you look back on January 6th, 2021? What questions do you still want to see answered? Who do you want to answer those questions under oath? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Alisa Von Hagel is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin Superior. Alisa, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into yesterday's hearing in particular, big picture, what have you made so far of these January 6th committee hearings?
Well, I think these hearings have been really different from hearings before. They've really done a very purposeful job of each particular day's hearings having a message, a beginning, middle, end. There's, you know, not the grandiose political speech making that often happens that takes up a lot of time, but it's very clear, direct to the point, and it paints a really clear and stark picture of, you know, what it is that the message is that they're trying to send about one particular facet of this larger set of issues that they are investigating.
They sometimes read, and some other political scientists have mentioned this, like a prosecution in some ways, but this is, of course, not a prosecutorial body. What do you see as the, I guess, intended audience of all this? The public, the Justice Department, who?
I think all of the above. I think primarily they, you know, the intention is to ensure that the American people are informed, are aware of the, you know, the incredible investigations that they have done, all of the documents, phone records, testimonials that they have gone through for months and months, and to provide a very clear and definitive picture of what happened. Certainly, I think you're also correct that it's also, you know, whether or not they decide to make a criminal referral to the Justice Department is yet unclear, but certainly that they will be painting a picture, you know, with that in mind, clearly, as the hearings continue to, you know, set the stage for a very clear, definitive reasoning behind a referral, if they intend to do so.
Now, turning to yesterday's surprise hearing, there wasn't one planned originally. There weren't going to be any till after the July 4th holiday. They added this one with Cassidy Hutchinson, not a household name until yesterday, I think, a former aide, a deputy to then Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Can you help us understand the value of her testimony and her perspective?
Absolutely. I think, I mean, to anybody who heard any part of her testimony or read anything about it, it was really stark, very shocking, truly shocking for even amongst, you know, well-seasoned politicos who have seen and, you know, heard everything under the sun. I think that yesterday's testimony was, you know, jaw-dropping, which I think I read in multiple places in different news articles. And so she was an aide. So she had the, you know, window into all of the goings on behind the scenes in the White House. She was interacting with all of these major or top staffers that we hear a lot about, but have most of them anyways, have thus far not met with the committee for a hearing or for a testimony. And so she was able to give kind of that, the big picture look, but also exact examples, even speech, even, you know, comments that people made to kind of fill in the gaps that were still, I think, left with before her participation.
And she was careful, I think, to say, you know, when she was there first person hearing something from someone versus she heard somebody else say this about something else. I want to turn to one of her, what she presented as a first person experience. This is just before former President Trump's speech at the Eclipse in D.C., saying that the president was aware that members of the crowd had weapons. Here she is talking about that.
I have a president say something to the effect of, you know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here. Let the people in. Take the effing mags away.
The mags being magnetometers, used as weapon detectors in this case. Elisa, people have pointed toward this as arguably the most significant part of that, the idea that the president was aware that at least some of the people gathered were armed before he sent them to the Capitol, saying they should fight like hell. That's been interpreted as, you know, political speech, you know, fight for what you believe in. The suggestion that the president was aware of weapons, though, why is that getting focus?
I think that's crucial to the overall picture of what they're painting about the event, but also with that particular scenario that she addressed here, but also with other examples of interactions with other top staffers, it was clear that, the president, the former president, as well as his staffers knew that January 6th had the potential to become violent. And this particular example on that day where he clearly had, you know, known that there were people with the whole array of weaponry that people had assembled and wanted them to continue on to the Capitol was, again, reinforcing this larger, you know, idea that they had known well in advance that this could be violent and that almost it seems as if or implies as if that there was an intention or purpose behind that in terms of letting them go through to the Capitol with all of these weapons.
Talking to Elisa von Hagel from UW-Superior, political science professor there, looking at the latest testimony in front of the January 6th Commission in the U.S. House. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, questions, or reactions. That's 800-642-1234. I want to give a listen to another moment yesterday. Hutchinson said that White House counsel Pat Cipollone was worried about the president breaking the law even before January 6th. Here's Hutchinson.
Please make sure we don't go up to the Capitol, Cassidy. Keep in touch with me. We're going to get charged with every crime imaginable if we make that movement happen. In the days leading up to the 6th, we had conversations about potentially obstructing justice or defrauding the electoral count.
So she was quoting there Pat Cipollone at the outset. Concerns raised before January 6th about people involved in the efforts on January 6th risking being charged with various crimes. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So there have been a number of different potential crimes that would be in play with this whole, you know, these whole events. And as she noted, the obstruction of justice, of attempting to conspire to defraud the electoral count is, you know, this would certainly be an indication that there was, you know, an attempt to obstruct the process by which the Congress was, supposed to be conducting during that time period. And so if, in fact, the president was, you know, not only well aware of this, but also planning on marching on down to the Capitol himself to be present at this event, it seems to provide that it would provide intent which is necessary for this obstruction charge to have any merit in a court of law.
We're talking to Elisa von Hagel about highlights from yesterday's January 6th hearings and what we've learned so far in the series of hearings. Elisa is a political science professor at UW-Superior. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Have you been following the hearings? What are you still hoping to hear? What do you hope, if anything, comes out of all of this? Or do you think it's time to be done? Yesterday in particular, what stood out to you in Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony yesterday, a deputy to then Chief of Staff Mark Meadows? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our talk about yesterday's January 6th hearings, where new details were revealed about what Trump officials knew leading up to the attack. We're covering some of the key points with Elisa von Hagel, political science professor at UW-Superior, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, your reactions, and what you want to know. Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. I want to talk about kind of shifting attitudes, Alisa, toward the events of January 6th from in the moment to now, especially from House Republicans. Just that they played a couple clips yesterday that spoke to the immediacy of the event, I think. First of all, I want to give a listen to Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy talking to CBS on January 6th, 2021.
I completely condemn the violence in the Capitol. What we're currently watching unfold is un-American. I am disappointed. I'm sad. This is not what our country should look like. This is not who we are. This is not the First Amendment. This has to stop, and this has to stop now.
And Mike Gallagher, Republican congressman from Wisconsin, put out a statement in the midst of the events on January 6th.
Mr. President, you have got to stop this. You are the only person who can call this off. Call it off. The election is over. Call it off. This is bigger than you. It's bigger than any member of Congress. It is about the United States of America, which is more important than any politician.
Alisa, how has the conversation changed since the midst of those events and the urgency we just heard there?
I think that there has been a subtle shift with these hearings. While certainly, the ardent supporters of Donald Trump are, less inclined to agree with or believe what is being presented as of right now. But there has been a subtle shift in terms of the acknowledgement of the events of what had happened. The committee, beginning with the, I believe on the day one of the hearings, airing the footage from the Capitol, footage that has yet been unseen, and really illustrating very clearly, point blank, to the audience of the extreme violence that had occurred, really helps to deflate the, the arguments that, it wasn't a violent incursion or insurrection. It was simply, as, was mentioned, a First Amendment attempt at political speech. And so with all of these things coming out, there is slowly and, surely this chipping away at the arguments that this event has not been violent and with the intent to overturn American democratic procedures.
Let's go to our callers now. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. Your guest referenced a part of what my question would be. I'm wondering for the ardent Trump supporters if there is any data accumulated yet as to if they believe the content of the hearings, and two, if they do believe it, if they don't care.
Tom, thanks for the call. Alisa, I don't know that this is necessarily moving the needle for one group or another.
Correct. And I that's a very good point. And I think both are perhaps simultaneously often the case true, that either it's just simply rejected outright, or while at the same time, a lot of times these statements or claims or even evidence that's presented, it's just simply do not care. And it's really unclear, again, how much of that base, that strong support base that he has, remains, and how much has shifted. But certainly his polling has continued to decline over time. And so even for a post-election anyways. And so perhaps there is that slow chipping away, but I do agree with the caller that both of those scenarios is often the case.
Thanks for that call, Tom. We'll go to Jim now in Hartford. Jim, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I believe this is just another political game, much like the Russian collusion thing. It's really not sinking into anybody out here in the real world. It's just terrible that, they're just worried that Donald Trump will win again, because right now the Gallup poll shows he would win against Biden in a matchup, even now, after all the slander, after all the abuse he's taken in the media. And I think it's just an effort to keep him from not winning, or anybody else that's, like him, to win the election, because they know it's inevitable.
Jim, thanks for the call. Alisa, what do you think?
I heard Adam Schiff, who's a member of this committee, in an interview just recently, and He had stated that, you know, the purpose here for him was about American democracy. And, you know, and maybe this is, you know, grandiose, you know, speech making, of course, but that the intent was to ensure that our democratic procedures, which, you know, very well may be threatened in coming elections, are precious, are critical. And it is critical for the American public to be informed on these matters of what has just happened so that it doesn't happen again. And certainly, you know, there's obviously, you know, thinking forward to the midterm elections that could very well be part of it in terms of the hearings themselves. So there's multiple, I think there's multiple reasons behind the decisions to go ahead with the hearings on the part of the committee itself.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Lisa von Hagel, professor of political science at UW-Superior, looking at the January 6th commission hearings, including the one yesterday. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Katie is with us now in Hudson. Katie, hi.
Hi. Say, I want to hear more about something that was brought up at the debate when Trump responded to a question about the Proud Boys. And he said, Proud Boys, stand down, but stand by. I want to hear if there is any evidence or connection that they have been colluding about this for some time.
Katie, thanks for the call. Elisa, a number of members of the Proud Boys have been charged, some convicted, related to January 6th. Do you see the commission looking for connections between the president, some of his closest advisors, some in the war room at a nearby hotel, and groups like the Proud Boys?
I do think that in terms of the top staffers, particularly, as you mentioned, at the Willard Hotel meeting the day before, that there were interactions amongst people who were at the event themselves, who were part of, you know, creating this violence, and with, you know, White House officials, is, you know, documented, is clear. Whether or not Donald Trump himself personally, whether there's evidence if he himself was involved in, you know, interacting or, you know, talking about this upcoming event, it's unclear at this point. However, it is clear that there has been connections between White House staffers and some of these leaders in Proud Boys, Oath Takers, and others who were taking part in the insurrection.
Katie, thanks for that call. Rob joins us now in La Crosse. Hi, Rob.
Hey, my comment is basically echoing a caller from before. I'm a Republican, and I was disgusted by seeing the violence on TV against everyone involved. But the most important thing is that I believe it's a what's happening is a kind of a charade in terms of what the Democratic Party is not doing to actually address what is important and what America cares about. I really feel like what they're doing is not sincere. And I'm tired of everyone who's a Trump supporter being called a white supremacist. I mean, would Democrats want to be called homosexuals or whatnot every time they're referenced? That's all I have to say.
Rob, thanks for the call. Rob, seeing this as a distraction in some ways from big issues, Elisa.
Yeah, and I think there's, you know, I think the persons on the committee are very aware of this, you know, potential criticism before, you know, planning and orchestrating the event itself. And so that is why I believe that the, you know, the hearings themselves were, you know, not simply a reiteration of what people already have known, but it's, you know, certainly these events are things that are known about. However, the evidence, the witness testimonials, the documentation involved is something, you know, that they have presented, that they have collected and analyzed as a committee, is something well beyond what, you know, what has been known previously. And so they are very, you know, conscious of this, you know, criticism. And clearly the, you know, the hearings themselves were put together in such a way as to illustrate that it is much more than what has been commonly, you know, reported upon or talked about in the media about the events of this time.
Time for one more caller. Bill is with us in Cameron. Bill, hi.
Hello. Yes, this is Bill. Previous callers have talked about CARE, some referencing CARE of the Nation about this issue, and then another one thought that it's just no difference that only a Republican president needs to come in and correct things. And I'm sorry. I mean, I was around when Nixon pulled his junk, and I, at that time, had supported Nixon, and I was shocked that something like that could happen. More conservative people in my atmosphere also were shocked. And now the nation is in a different state. People are not shocked at this stuff. I have supported Republican presidencies somewhat until recently, when there's too many lies going on and too many believing falsehoods.
Bill, thanks for the call. We're just about out of time. Elisa, is there something different now? We're less able to be shocked, as Bill says, than we were in the times of Nixon.
I think to a certain extent, yeah, there has been indications that, you know, a lot of these things that would be, you know, jaw-dropping scenarios are just simply, you know, brushed over for the next news event of the day. And so whether it's a product of this time or, you know, any one particular person, it's unclear, but certainly it is a different day and age, certainly.
Thanks to everyone for calling in. And Elisa, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me today.
I've been talking to Elisa von Hagel, professor of political science at UW-Superior. She joined us for a closer look at yesterday's January 6th hearings, how they fit into the overall pattern of the hearings so far. None now until after the July 4th holiday scheduled by the January 6th committee. We'll watch for that schedule and share it with you when we know when we're going to be airing those.